This is Morning Edition from NHPR. I'm Rick Gamley, and this is the New Hampshire News Recap. President Trump issued an executive order this week aimed at limiting voting by mail. New Hampshire's Secretary of State, David Scanlon, says he won't change state election practices to follow that order. NHPR's senior political reporter, Josh Rogers, joins us now to explain. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Rick.
First, let's talk about this executive order. What is the Trump administration asking for here?
Basically two things. One is it's asking for states to compile lists of qualified voters who are verified citizens. The executive order would also order the U.S. Postal Service to only send absentee ballots to voters who appear on that list. That's the stated goal. But, you know, these lists, if collected, could potentially be used for other things, including, you know, undermining future election results and, you know, raising questions of illegitimate votes, that kind of thing. And so that's how this is being seen.
So why is Scanlon pushing back on working with the feds on this?
He would say it's very straightforward that this order doesn't comport with current election law in the state. You know, there are laws in New Hampshire that limits who can access voter lists, and it certainly doesn't contemplate compiling a master list of verified citizen voters. You know, I ought to say, though, that state law has since 2024 required voters registering for the first time to present proof of citizenship. So there are aspects of this order that do comport with policies, but what is being sought is not contemplated under state law is the bottom line.
So Scanlon is asserting this executive order doesn't only violate New Hampshire state statute, though. He's also talking about violating federal statutes.
That's true. He hasn't been as pointed on that front. But, you know, the privacy of voter information is something that is quite guarded under state law. And there's also the state's constitutional right to privacy, which, you know, potentially hangs over this matter. Scanlon hasn't invoked that either. But, you know, more broadly, this is, on his part, I think, an understandable leeriness about letting the federal government intrude into state elections. And that's been the position of his office for decades, really.
This move from the Trump administration, Josh, does come amid an ongoing legal dispute between the federal government and New Hampshire election officials because Scanlon has refused to turn over confidential voting records before. He's kind of been at the forefront of this already, hasn't he?
I guess that's true. I think as somebody who's watched the operations of his office, both under his watch and his predecessor, Bill Gardner, Secretary of State Bill Gardner, you know, for both of them, the focus on doing what's required of them by state law is really what this boils down to. And, you know, that has been an emphasis going back decades that, you know, that their job is to honor state policies when it comes to elections and voting here. And while the Trump administration, you know, is asking them to do something different, the fundamental stance of this office for years is that, you know, voter information must be guarded, that elections are local affairs under New Hampshire law. And this is this very similar in tone and tenor to arguments that the Secretary of State's office made some years ago when congressional Democrats sought to pass what they were calling the For the People Act, which was a sweeping plan to change voter laws, make it easier for voters to register, vote absentee, that sort of thing. That was a big pushed by Democrats in 2019 and 2021. And the arguments from the Secretary of State's office are really quite consistent with the arguments the Secretary of State's office is making now against the Trump administration.
That's very interesting. Josh, speaking of voting and voters, we'll be heading to the polls this fall for the midterms. You were out and about speaking with voters over this past weekend. What are you hearing from them? What's the sentiment?
I mean, I guess I feel like I heard a great deal. I mean, I was predominantly out at No Kings events where, you know, spirits are going to be running high. There's a lot of concern about the war, plenty of concerns about the economy, lots of frustration with the political status quo, with the Trump administration, with Democrats who feel that members of their own party that we send to Washington are being insufficiently effective in resisting the Trump administration. You know, there's a poll out recently from Emerson College that showed every elected official in New Hampshire who's elected statewide, meaning Republicans Donald Trump and Kelly Ayotte, U.S. Senators Gene Sheehan and Maggie Hassan, all of them are underwater in terms of their popularity. And so, you know, the clear bottom line is that voters are frustrated. Plenty told me they felt under strain, you know, angry. You know, a major thing I heard is that they feel increasingly the gulf between the lives they lead and the pressures they face, whether it's paying for, you know, health care, college tuition, groceries, and the lives they feel that the people elected statewide and top politicians lead. And so, you know, I think political goodwill seems to be low at the moment. It's obviously a very volatile world. And, you know, from what voters told me, it seems like this election season and, you know, there's so much going on. It's hard to remember that it's not too far until voters are going to be casting ballots. This year could be volatile.
Yeah, November will come quickly. And there's bipartisan dissatisfaction, it seems.
It seems.
And HPR's Josh Rogers. Josh, thank you.
You're welcome, Rick.
And here are some of those voters that Josh spoke to at No Kings rallies this past weekend.
Would stand behind public education, for one, and people being able to afford to eat and live and have a place to stay and get rid of all the hatred. A lot of hate in the world.
I wish that there was a third party, because I do think the Democratic Party is so corrupt right now. And Democrats need to start representing true constituents and not just its super, you know, large donors.
I keep getting all of the text messages for $2. I'm like, I'm not going to send you money until you start doing stuff.
That's a real
that's
problem.
A big part of it. It
you
seems
don't
like they've
have
been entrenched.
Anybody that's like actual, like parents or out there in the workforce or trying to buy a home for the first time
touch.
Or
very
trying
out of touch,
to
yes.
afford health care. And so the people that are representing us aren't actually us. And I think that's part of the problem.
Like, what don't people like about their elected officials, right? People don't like that they seem to be enriching themselves off of the yeah. process while not helping people who are struggling. Our politicians are seemingly doing that.
There's so much negotiating and moderateness when the people are being harmed, people are dying, but we don't put people first.
Some voters that Josh talked to last weekend, right here on New Hampshire Public Radio. A number of states across the Northeast joined a public health collaborative this past fall in response to turmoil within federal health agencies. New Hampshire was the only New England state that opted not to join. But the New Hampshire Bulletin's Will Skipworth reports the state has been involved behind the scenes. Will joins us now to explain. Morning, Will.
Good morning, Rick.
So first, Will, can you tell us why this Northeast Public Health Collaborative was formed in the first place?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this was a response to Donald Trump and Robert Kennedy's really seismic changes at the CDC over the last year and a half-ish. So there have been mass layoffs. There's been defunding of biomedical research. And Kennedy has really elevated anti-vaccine sentiment in a way that we haven't seen before in the federal government. And this, the Northeast Public Health Collaborative is kind of designed to backfill where these states believe the federal government is failing in this way.
Now, even though New Hampshire did not join the collaborative publicly, you found in your reporting that they've still been involved. How so?
Yeah, absolutely. So I obtained a trove of about 1,000 pages of emails and other documentation that shows, despite New Hampshire being publicly unconnected to this group, I would call it a fully fledged member behind the scenes. So they're attending virtual meetings, they're brainstorming ideas, and based on the emails, it really seems like their peers also consider them a fully fledged member.
Okay, so why not just join publicly? Why do New Hampshire officials want to keep their involvement under the radar?
Yeah, well, I asked the state, but they won't tell me that. But I think a lot of people would speculate that politics have a lot to do with it. New Hampshire is the only state in the region with a Republican trifecta in power. And this collective is obviously kind of a rebuke of the Trump administration's health agenda. Now, Rick, one thing I'll tell you is that since this story's come out, I've heard a lot of commentary about whether New Hampshire should or should not join this collaborative. But to me, this story is about government transparency. I firmly believe, you know, grantsters have a right to know what their government is up to, whether they agree with it or not. And that's why I was so gung-ho about telling this story.
So you're asserting that the Republicans in power did not want to tick off the president and the administration.
Yeah. I think that's what a lot of spectators would kind of assume reading the story.
I want to turn to your ongoing coverage on the gaps in the state's disability care system. You broke the story that there were close to 550 reports of abuse, neglect, and exploitation from 2023 to 25. What is the state process for investigating these claims?
Well, in New Hampshire, we have two state agencies that do these investigations, Adult Protective Services and the Office of Client and Legal Services. So when someone reports allegations of abuse or neglect, it's one of these agencies that investigates. And because of privacy concerns and privacy laws, a lot of that investigation stays confidential.
What are some of the issues with that process?
Well, what we learned last week is that a lot of care providers that make up the system believe that the state doesn't have enough investigators. And that's causing some real delays in getting answers when there's an allegation.
Lawmakers are considering a bill, though, that would you know, but filed in response to abuse, neglect in the disability care system. Would that address any of those issues if passed?
Yeah, the bill, which is Senate Bill 670, it does a lot of things. And one of those things is it does speed up the timeline with which people are placed on the state's registry of abusive and neglectful caregivers after a report is made. But it doesn't do anything to hire new investigators. One thing I'll note is that the lawmakers behind it really stress that it's probably just the first step in trying to fix the issues in ongoing in the system.
So what questions are you still trying to address with this, what about the state's gap in care?
Oh, man, great question. So many. So I really want to understand how money is passing through the system. It's such a complicated bureaucratic system, so I think it'd be really illuminating to know. I also want to understand the state's process for, you know, accrediting new care agencies. And I know there's so many talented, devoted caregivers out there, but I also know that there's some abusive and neglectful ones. So what are system officials doing to weed out those bad ones?
So really, you're looking at, you know, number one, a lack of enough staffing, and then also a lack of oversight?
Yeah, I think that's really well put.
What it comes down to. Will Skipworth is a reporter for the New Hampshire Bulletin. Will, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be watching for much more of reporting on this and everything else.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here. Thanks for having me.
You can find more of Will's work, by the way, at NewHampshireBulletin.com. We also suggest you check out the New Hampshire News Quiz. It is a quick, fun, and informative way to test your knowledge of the week's news. You can sign up to get the quiz emailed to you, or you can check it out at nhpr.org/quiz. And we are here next Friday with more. I'm Rick Ganley, and this is NHPR.